Four women now say that men in the Calvary Gospel Church in Madison sexually assaulted, groomed, and manipulated them when they were children, and that the church did not put a stop to it. One of the women told Capital Times reporter Caitlin Farrell that when she was age 14, the man who repeatedly raped her would then make her kneel and recite a psalm about being forgiven for adultery. Caitlin Farrell joins me now with more from her report called Stolen Childhoods. To start, what do we know about this church and specifically its culture?
Calvary Gospel Church is a United Pentecostal Church International, is the denomination. It's been in Madison for several decades now. The women who I spoke to, and not only women, but I had interviewed a former ordained pastor, minister of that church, and his wife as well, say that they experienced and saw a culture of manipulation and real fear from its senior leadership, some of whom are still in place there. Also a real impetus on evangelizing others. That played a role in a lot of the fear that women had in coming forward and not wanting to expose or sully the name of this church, because they were told really that if they out church members, people aren't going to want to come to church. And if they're not going to want to come to church, then they're going to go to hell.
So what are the commonalities in these accounts of how this all got started?
In really all the stories, it was a group of men around the same age. This group of men were actively involved in the church. They served in a variety of ministries. One of the women I highlighted, her alleged abuser was her Sunday school teacher. And, you know, these were people who were known and really believed to be selfless, service-oriented men of God. And so when they did end up reporting what was going on, they felt that it was often they who were thrown under the bus. And one story that I tell, I spoke with the woman's mother, and she gave her consent for her story to be used, but did not want to really go into that at this point in her life again. They brought her in front of the congregation and had her confess her sin of having sex outside of marriage. Then the pastor at the time was told to shun her. So there was a lot of, according to these people, shunning going on anytime really you would deviate from what the expectation was.
And you reached out to the church and some of the people who the women reported being groomed by and sexually assaulted by. And what did they say for the story?
They did not exactly deny the allegations, but did emphasize some of the protocols that they had been putting in place to prevent this type of abuse, and then declined to comment further when I had some follow-up questions. And I reached out to one alleged perpetrator multiple times who did not respond. And then I did quote another alleged perpetrator in the story, and he denied those allegations as well.
Could the women go to police with these reports, go through the criminal justice system, or could they potentially seek a civil lawsuit?
The women have spoken to police about this. Debbie McNulty made a police report in 2017. At that time, she was told, she's nearly 50 years old now, the abuse occurred when she was around 9 or 10, and she was told that the statute of limitations to prosecute that case criminally had passed. The women, though, are interested in collectively filing civil action, I think, if finances were to allow that. But there's also a question about whether the statute of limitations will have run out on that as well. I think my understanding is that they would be precluded from that, because right now, victims of childhood sexual abuse need to bring a case forward by the time they reach 35. And most of these women now are beyond that. One is 31. But that's another issue that some lawmakers want to abolish completely. They want to say that for civil cases, there should be no time limit.
Something that struck me as I read your story was the reaction of one of the women as she looked back at photos of herself from the time she was in the church. And she said, essentially, she hates the person she sees in those pictures, and even thinks that if she'd had more strength then, even given how far she's come today, maybe things would have been different. To hear someone say that about herself after being abused as a child just shows how deep this trauma can go.
That interview with Rebecca Martin Bird was nearly 4 hours, and she said that towards the end of that interview, and it was heartbreaking, you know. She outlined in our interview a lot of things where she has some residual anger. She really wants justice. There's been ways which, you know, she's able to kind of hyper compartmentalize her life. It really strikes you.
Caitlin, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.